Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in again today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. It's a daily radio broadcast that's designed with a question and answer comment approach that will allow you, our listeners, to participate in this daily radio broadcast. I pray that you listen. I pray that you take notes. I pray that it's something that is impactful in your life, that will be enlightening and challenging, especially to each of us as Christians, that we might be involved in the community in which we live. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue today, let me take a moment to invite you to worship with us this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, exactly 1 mile south of I-295. We have our Bible study Sunday school hour at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and then at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m., we have our worship services. We invite you to join us. It is the traditional old-fashioned worship service where the Word of God is preeminent, where we do expository biblical preaching, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, Bible book by Bible book, and we have the traditional gospel singing. It is not the rock and roll. We do not turn the lights out and have the strobe lights on. We simply have a time of worship where we can study the Word of God and allow God through the work of the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and direct our lives. So we encourage you to worship with us. We've met by radio. We'd love to meet you in person, have the privilege of speaking to you personally and enjoying an opportunity to fellowship around the Word of God. So that's this Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. for the worship service. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to talk about a subject today that's been pretty much 24/7 on the television radio broadcast across the nation, and may I even hasten to say around the world, and that is with the massacre that took place in a school in Parkland, Florida. Perhaps you have been listening. Perhaps you have been tuned in. But may I first of all say that I want to invite every one of us, everyone listening, yes, you're listening, I want to invite everyone that has a relationship to God through Jesus Christ to pray and ask God to give wisdom and strength, peace and encouragement and hope in the hearts and the lives of those that lost loved ones in this massacre. Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to hear the political screams. I find it appalling, ladies and gentlemen, that when there is a tragedy as this, where there is a massacre that's taken place, immediately the left-wing, loose, lax, lost liberals, the Schumanites and the Pelosiites in Washington want to immediately jump on the bandwagon and scream for the banning of our constitutional liberties. Second Amendment of our Constitution says, in our Bill of Rights, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, what is it about that term shall not be infringed? Do they not understand? What is it about our Bill of Rights that they feel that somehow, some way, you can mitigate against or infringe upon by some regulation? You cannot modify or abridge our rights as stated in very clearly in our Bill of Rights. We must institute public policy in our schools. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it is necessary for us to step up to the plate and realize that we're living in a totally different era. We're living in a totally different society today than even 50 years ago. And so, therefore, I believe that it is necessary that we call on our school boards. Yes, right here in Duval County, I believe that it's time we, the people, call on our school board members, and our superintendent of school, and yes, even our city council, and ask that they do something in relationship to, if nothing else, having public hearings to allow personal input from the citizens, that we might do something to stop the killing. What am I recommending here? I'm recommending that somehow, some way, we set up some type system so that we can have our schools in what I call lockdown condition. Just as I've recommended for years and years and years now with our churches, that we need to have a closed campus policy for our churches, where the doors are locked, and where there is not a possibility, or if possible, no possibility, or limiting that potentiality as much as possible by having security in our churches and the church doors locked. And that's what I recommend for schools. I don't see any other way today, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, the school in Parkland, Florida, some 3,200 students, some, I think, 6 or 8 or 10 different buildings or more, and they had only one security guard. And it's an impossibility for one rent-a-cop be able to properly secure the facilities and prevent what took place in that massacre where 17 students were killed. Parents are weeping. Families are weeping, brokenhearted with what has taken place. And so I'm not trying to mitigate the situation or in any way minimize the personal harm and tragedy that's taken place. But we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that guns are banned in so many of our cities today, Chicago, Detroit, D.C., and yet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of murders are taking place every year. Some of the liberal politicians suggesting possibility of banning guns or in some way truncating our liberties in our Constitution, and I find it appalling. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion today by calling 401-1413, 904-401-1413. We're talking about the subject today, what causes mass murder? What causes mass murder? And you can put it in the kind of a subtitle, mass murder in our public schools. Can it be stopped? What is the answer? What should we do? Some of the liberal politicians are suggesting a proposal that hypothetically will stop mass murders as happened in the Florida school in Parkland, Florida. Here's some of the things. Let me just iterate some of the proposals that's being made by the Pelosiites and the Schumanites, Shuites, or whatever you want to call Chuck Schumer in Washington, and many, many others that are jumping in lockstep. In fact, some of the supposed conservatives within the Republican Party, I find it appalling when they jump on the bandwagon and say, yeah, we need to ban this gun or ban that gun or ban the other gun. Ladies and gentlemen, the Constitution doesn't authorize that at all. Yes, I'm an advocate for the Second Amendment right. I'm an advocate for the fact that I believe the only way you can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And yet we have students locked up in schools where they're sitting ducks, just as in churches, sitting ducks. When a school has the philosophy that this is a no-gun zone or a gun-free zone, you're simply saying, come and get us. You're simply saying to the nuts and the fruitcakes out there to come and shoot everybody in the room. But here are some of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that I am appalled by that's being talked about by our legislators in Washington, immediately jumping on the bandwagon. One of them is that we ban all automatic weapons. Ban all automatic weapons. Another is that we ban the AR-15s. Another is that we ban anyone with a so-called mental issue. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm horrified at that thought. It might sound relatively simple. It might sound as though this is an answer to the societal problem of mass murder as we find taking place recently in the school in Parkland, Florida, where 17 were killed. Another 12 or 15 are still, many of them in the hospital, some still with life-threatening conditions. But listen, if you talk about banning weapons in the hands of anyone with so-called mental illness, this would ban almost all of our military personnel coming out of the military scenarios where they're in war zones. Many of them have what's called PTSD. And with the PTSD, they're on some medication that a physician has given them for their life support. And yet, it does not mean that they're mentally ill, mentally retarded, or mentally diminished in any fashion. But this would ban any citizen that may at some point ever have his or her doctor issue prescriptions for being depressed, or for being saddened, or for what would be called having suicidal thoughts, as it would be categorized. This would ban millions upon millions of citizens today that are otherwise perfectly capable of owning and having a weapon. Yes, I'm upset with it. Yes, I'm bothered by it. Yes, I'm alarmed by that potentiality. Because what we will begin to do then is have the philosophy that if you've had to take four aspirins in that day, that some way you're mentally ill. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's just think for a moment. Recently, the nut fruitcake on The View on ABC, and ABC, by the way, is the acronym for Always Bashing Christians Network, Always Bashing Christians Network. But Behart, the one that's supposed to be the leader of that gang, just criticized Christians, demeaned Christians publicly. And she said, in essence, that if you're a Christian and you have a conversation with Jesus, you're mentally ill. So how long would it be if we allow the politicians in Washington to set up some kind of prescription for and a response to this shooting by saying that the mentally ill cannot own a gun or carry a gun or have a weapon and take away his Second Amendment constitutional rights? Then what we would find is the trickle down that eventually Christians could be banned because we talk about hearing from Jesus. We talk about communication with God. We talk about having a dialogue through the reading of the Word and prayer before the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm alarmed by that potentiality. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist communists in our nation today want to control our citizens, and the first and foremost pathway to doing that is by gun control. Gun control. You can go to any dictatorship nation around the globe, and the first thing they do is destroy the opportunity for the people to have some type of protection. Then they destroy the minds by watered down communist socialist educational system. And ladies and gentlemen, we've already done that in our educational system. We've already destroyed the potentiality of our students knowing what history is about, what America is about, and what history should have taught us. And now we're talking about continually on an alarming level of some control of our Second Amendment right. Generally, all who are considered to have any mental health issue would be included in what. Now, listen, I understand that this person, Nicholas Cruz, that murdered these 17 people, I understand that he was on some psychotropic drug, and that is a drug that controls mental or social societal issues in that person. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can't take that and then automatically say we're going to use that to change our Constitution and to abridge our Bill of Rights. You can't do that. It's an impossibility. We ought not to allow it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. Youngblood. This is Let's Face the Issues broadcast. You can join in this dialogue and discussion by calling 401-1413. And we're talking about the subject today, what causes mass murder. And in my continual elongated monologue, I want to get to the trickle down and let us understand. But what I'm talking about now is basically the introduction to that. We're talking about what these loose-lax lost liberals are wanting to do to our nation today. The fourth thing they want to do, the liberals would like to see all guns and rifles or weapons completely banned. The fifth thing they would like to do, some even advocate for banning the Constitution. Yes, we have those that say perhaps we need to shred the Constitution because it is an old document, should be an evolving document. And back when our founding fathers wrote that, it is not something that ought to be adhered to today. We do not talk about banning automobiles. Hear me, listen, we don't talk about banning automobiles, and yet we have more deaths by automobiles today than by guns. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the statistical number says there are approximately 30,000 deaths a year by guns. 20,000 plus of those are as a result of self-inflicted suicide, less than 10,000 otherwise. And out of that less than 10,000 otherwise, many, many, many are those that are lawful shootings by police agencies, policemen, and law enforcement. So we have a minuscule number, even though it's alarming when we see these things take place. It's a minuscule number in comparison with the totality of what happens in America with those that are dying. We could literally go back and look at those that die as a result of miscalculation, misdiagnosis, and or malpractice in relationship to medicine and physicians. And I'm not in any way trying to denigrate that profession. But I'm simply saying we're looking at this through the prism of the loose, lax, lost liberals and those that are pushing in Washington to take away mine and your constitutional right to keep and bear arms. So what's the root problem? What is the root problem? What is the problem that we're faced with in America? And what is the root problem that these issues come forth from? And let me just share several of them for the balance of our broadcast time. Fatherless homes, death, divorce, unwed mothers where there's no father figure in the home. Drugs, the second thing, mainly marijuana, which we see being pushed by just about every state in America today. And marijuana alters the mind. It alters the brain. And for a teenager, a sub-teen, to start out with marijuana, it, in many capacities, according to medical science, destroys the capability of the development of the brain should there be potential and possibility of that child thriving in society. So-called medical marijuana is simply a gateway to opioids and heroin. If you don't believe that, look at Colorado. Look at California. Look at the mass increase in murders and rapes and burglaries, automobile accidents, home invasions, crime in general up dramatically, divorce, foreclosures, et cetera, increased exponentially. Poverty has increased as a result of introducing pot shops and pot being sold in those states. And it's not just California and Colorado. We have six or seven other states that are doing that, and some 30 states already with marijuana and wanting now to introduce it in states like Florida and others. We're on the very verge, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida are becoming just like California and Colorado, with drugs destroying the minds of human beings. The fourth thing that is, we're talking about now the problem, what's caused these mass shootings, banning the Bible in school. Banning prayer in school, the so-called separation of church and state that doesn't exist in our Constitution, that gives the lax, lost liberals with a socialist, communist mindset that you can just remove God. The social media advocating violence is the seventh thing. Hollywood, number eight, Hollywood being the model for our youth today. Our young people look up to Hollywood stars, those that perpetuate the mindset of gangsterism and the murder by the thousands, and the kids are watching that on every handheld device. In fact, our teens today spend more time watching their cell phone and their laptops and their iPads than any other thing that they do in their 24-hour life cycle each day. Children are being reared without any spiritual, biblical emphasis in the home. Generally, we find with our millennials today, ladies and gentlemen, 18 to 35-year-old age group, they simply are not attending church at all. They simply have no spiritual mindset at all. They've simply divorced themselves from God. They've simply made a determination that the church is not for me. And they perhaps laugh at what Joy Behar said the other day on television, that you're mentally ill if you believe that Jesus talks to you. Here's a couple of articles that was posted on Facebook today. Our current government school system is incapable of doing anything other than perverting Christian principles. The church house was the schoolhouse for hundreds of years. Today, weak Christians have abandoned their role. Their battle goes on. Believers should stand up and engage. Our children will pay for our apathy or the beneficiaries of our lack of diligence in this category. Here's another Facebook post that's very similar. How many of these murderous thugs are avid leftists, socialists, Antifa, and Islamists? If they were conservative Christians or NRA members, CNN would roll up nonstop coverage on the point. Christians in particular acknowledge they are answerable to God for their action. Thus, the committed believer is to have, as the article says here, near zero threat to innocent folks. I'm brokenhearted today over the loss of life. There's only one antidote for all that ails society, and he's quoting scripture now. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, speaking of Jesus, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the resolution of this problem. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about this scenario, we think about the fact that there is so many today that saying, where is God? God's where he's always been. It's where we, as moral ethical people in society today. What should we do? How should we respond? We must seek God. In fact, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, we have three states in America that's already adopted Bible as a course being taught in the public classrooms. I'm thankful for that. We must insist that our laws change to allow prayer and Bible back in the classroom. Believers must reach out and win the lost. We must seek God. And fourthly, our churches must preach and teach the Word of God. There's no place in the pulpit for the voodoo theology, as I call it, or the cotton candy theology. Cotton candy theology just provides $2 worth of God, just enough to make one feel guilty, but not enough to make one convert or change. The cotton candy theology. Fifth, our families must prioritize church, worship, and Bible study. Our parents must lead our church, lead out in church involvement. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was a parental decision. It was a personal decision. It was a prioritized decision in Joshua 24:15. We must realize that more laws will not work. God gave us only 10 laws to begin with. They're called the Ten Commandments, yet we cannot keep any one of the 10, generally speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to, we've got a few minutes to go, but I want to make sure that this is included in today's broadcast. Perhaps you're familiar with the Columbine school shooting back a number of years ago. One of the fathers of one of the kids that was killed, Darrell Scott, the father of Rachel Scott, a victim of the Columbine High School shooting in Littleton, Colorado, was invited recently to address the House Judiciary Subcommittee. What he said to our national leaders, I'm reading an article, during the special session of Congress was painfully truthful. Let me just read you some of his quotes here, ladies and gentlemen. Since the dawn of creation, there have been both good and evil in the hearts of men and women. We all contain the seeds of kindness or the seed of violence. The death of my wonderful daughter, Rachel Joy Scott, and the deaths of the heroic teacher and the other 11 children who died must not have died in vain. Their blood cries out for answers. End quote. Other open quote. The first recorded act of violence was when Cain slew his brother Abel out in the field. The villain was not the club that was used, neither was it the NCA, that is the National Club Association. The true killer was Cain. And the reason for the murder could only be found in Cain's heart. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? He further states, in the days that followed the Columbine tragedy, I was amazed as how quickly fingers began to be pointed at groups such as the NRA. I'm not a member of the NRA. I'm not a hunter. I do not even own a gun. I'm reading now a quote from the father of Rachel Scott that died in the Columbine shooting. He says, I'm not here to represent or to defend the NRA because I don't believe that they are responsible for my daughter's death. Therefore, I do not believe that they need to be defended. If I believe that they had anything to do with Rachel's murder, I would be their strongest opponent. I'm here today, he's speaking to the Judiciary Committee Subcommittee. I'm here today to declare that Columbine was not just a tragedy. It was a spiritual event that should be forcing us to look at where the real blame lies. Much of the blame lies here in this room. He's speaking to legislators. Much of the blame lies behind the pointing fingers of the accusers themselves. I wrote a poem just a few nights ago that expresses my feelings best. And here this dear father reads this poem to the legislators as he's seated before the Judiciary Committee Subcommittee. And I quote, Your laws ignore our deepest needs. Your words are empty air. You've stripped away our heritage. You've outlawed simple prayer. Now guns fill our classrooms and precious children die. You seek for answers everywhere and you ask the question, why? You regulate restrictive laws through legislative creed, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we really need. End quote. He further says, men and women, we are three-part beings. We consist of body, mind, and spirit. When we refuse to acknowledge a third part of our makeup, we create a void that allows evil, prejudice, and hatred to rush in and wreak havoc. Spiritual presence, we're present within our educational system. Spiritual presence, we're present within our educational system for the most of our nation's history. Many of our major colleges began as theological seminaries. This is a historical fact. What has happened to us as a nation? We have refused to honor God, and in doing so, we opened the door to hatred and violence. And when something as terrible as Columbine, and we could back up and simply say something as terrible as Parkland, Florida High School, something as terrible as Columbine, he says here in this article, this tragedy occurs. Politicians immediately look for a scapegoat, such as the NRA. They immediately seek to pass more restrictive laws and contribute to the erosion, the eroding away of our personal and private liberties. We do not need more restrictive laws. End quote. He says here, my daughter's death will not be in vain. The young people of this country will not allow this to happen. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, just as Daryl Scott said, seated before the investigative subcommittee on the subject, what we need today is to put prayer and Bible reading back in the classroom. No, I do not believe that it traverses our Constitution at all, because there's no separation of church and state found in our Constitution. I'm praying that God will enable President Trump and Vice President Pence, and those that are spiritually minded, advising and guiding and directing and setting the pattern for our nation. I'm prayerful that once again, we'll have some vestige of God back in the classroom and recognize that these tragedies come from wicked hearts, not from the trigger, not from the weapon. I don't care if it's a 38 or a 9mm or an AR-15. The weapon is an inanimate object. It cannot kill anyone. It's the wretched brain, the mind behind the trigger that pulls that trigger from a wicked heart. And the only way that will change that heart is the Word of God, the preaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary's cross. Guns have never killed anyone. The person pulling the trigger is the culprit. We must not disarm our citizens. Going back to Daryl Scott's statement before the subcommittee, Cain slew Abel. It was not the club that killed Cain. It was the wicked heart in Cain. It was not the National Club Association or the National Rifle Association that's at blame. It's the wicked heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that this has been a challenge to you, a blessing to our hearts, encouragement for us to stand up, speak up, and be the salt and light God would have us to be. Thank you for joining today's broadcast. Looking forward to being with you again next week when once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.